fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, who lifted the Super Bowl trophy for a record-tying sixth time in Atlanta, Georgia. In the lowest-scoring Super Bowl in the 53-year history of the National Football League's big title game, the Patriots defeated the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. We'll hear two reports from Atlanta. The first is from the AP's Gary McKillops.
Tom Brady and the New England Patriots did it again.
You get in these games, you just got to find a way to win, and we played well in the end. And that's what we needed.
For the sixth time, the Pats, led by Brady, won the Super Bowl, this time defeating the Los Angeles Rams 13-3 in a game dominated by defense, but won in the fourth quarter on a two-yard touchdown run by Pats rookie Sonny Michel and Steven Gostkowski's second field goal of the game.
They played really well on defense. Fortunately, our defense really played the best game they have all season, and it was just an incredible win.
Michelle's touchdown came with just 7 minutes remaining.
It felt good to be able to score a touchdown. That's our goal, put points on the board, and we were able to do that because the defense were playing a good game. Special teams were doing a great job, and, we got the job done.
Patriot defense held Rams quarterback Jared Goff to just 229 yards through the air.
It's the toughest loss I've ever had. It kills. It's terrible, and there are some good things you can take from it, but right now there's nothing. It's a game I wish I would have played better. I wish we would have played better on offense, offensively as a whole. I wish I could have had a million plays back.
Gary McKillops, Atlanta.
Thanks, Gary. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With more on Super Bowl 53, here is the AP's Mark Myers in Atlanta.
The high-powered Rams offense went stagnant during Super Bowl 53, a 13-3 loss to the Patriots. The Rams punted on each of their first eight possessions. Jared Goff was under constant duress. He made just five completions in the first half as his team was held scoreless, and his fourth-quarter interception sealed the Rams' fate. But tackle Andrew Whitworth says don't blame the quarterback.
I think all of us really just didn't execute at a level that was needed for us to be successful. Now, just on the flip side, like when you win, Jared's going to take the heat of that, but he's a special kid, and I believe that he'll be prepared to bounce back.
The running attack also flamed out as Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson combined for only 57 rushing yards. Mark Myers, Atlanta.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman had 10 catches for 141 yards and was named the Super Bowl's most valuable player.
I think everything happens for a reason. I was always taught as a young boy that you always just got to work hard, work as hard as you can, put in the extra time, and we'll see where it goes.
And here are a few fun facts about New England Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman, the most valuable player of Super Bowl 53. In high school and college, the 32-year-old Edelman played quarterback. And since turning professional, he's become known for his versatility. Edelman also returns punts for the Patriots. And he's also been pressed into service as a cornerback a few times when the team has been shorthanded on defense. And speaking of versatility, a striker from Argentina showed his versatility over the weekend, using three different methods to score three goals for Manchester City. Joining us now with more details in his wrap of weekend European club football highlights is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Sergio Aguero scored his 14th Manchester City hat-trick as the champions dismantled Arsenal 3-1 at the Etihad Stadium to cut Liverpool's Premier League lead to 2 points. Aguero, who opened the scoring after just 46 seconds, netted all three from close range as City bounced back from their midweek defeat against Newcastle with a convincing display. The Argentine now has 157 goals in 227 appearances, and has also scored the two quickest goals in the Premier League this season, 24 seconds against Newcastle and 46 seconds against Arsenal. Manchester United extended their unbeaten run under interim boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to 10 games with a narrow 1-0 victory against Leicester at the King Power Stadium. Marcus Rashford scored on his 100th Premier League appearance to send United in the top 5 with 48 points, 2 adrift of Chelsea in 4th place, while Leicester stayed 11th on 32 points. The 21-year-old is the youngest player to reach a century of top-flight appearances for Manchester United since Ryan Giggs in December 1993. Gonzalo Higuain scored his first goals in English football to help Chelsea beat Huddersfield 5-0, while Son Heung-min profited from an error by Newcastle goalkeeper Martin Debravka to score the only goal of the game, as Tottenham moved third in the Premier League table with a late victory over Newcastle.
Prince, still with the Premier League, West Ham is hosting top-of-the-table Liverpool on this Monday evening. Is it safe to say, Prince, that West Ham's Chilean manager, Manuel Pellegrini, is plotting to hand his former club, Manchester City, a major boost in their attempt to retain the Premier League title?
That's right, Sonny. West Ham can land a major blow to the Reds' Premier League hopes with victory at the London Stadium. The Reds' lead at the top is just 2 points after City beat Arsenal 3-1 at the Etihad Stadium. On the other hand, Sonny, victory over the Hammers will just be enough for Liverpool to re-establish their 5-point advantage at the top of the Premier League. Marko Arnautović could also be available for West Ham, where Lucas Fabianski and Aaron Crosswell may also be fit. James Milner returns for Liverpool after missing the draw at Leicester because of suspension. And I don't want to demoralize West Ham fans, but I thought they should know that Liverpool have won their last 4 games against West Ham, winning 2 of those matches 4-0 and 2 of them 4-1.
Sure sounds like recent history favors Liverpool, Prince. Prince, let's move to Spain. I understand an 18-year-old striker from Brazil had a personal milestone for Madrid over the weekend.
Right on, Sonny. Teenager Vinicius Jr. bagged his first goal in La Liga and produced a scintillating display as Real Madrid warmed up for the midweek El Clasico Cup clash against Barcelona with a comfortable 3-0 win over Alaves. Karim Benzema broke the deadlock after half an hour to give the European champions the lead. Vinicius made it 2-0 from close range, while substitute Mariano Diaz's driving header sealed an easy victory. Real are now only 2 points behind City rivals Atletico Madrid, who suffered a 1-0 defeat at Real Betis. Messi scored twice to erase a 2-goal deficit and earn Barcelona a point in a 2-2 draw against Valencia at the Nou Camp. Kevin Gamero and a Dani Parejo penalty helped Valencia take a 2-goal lead before halftime against the league leaders, but Messi pulled one back with a penalty of his own right before halftime and also produced a moment of absolute brilliance to level the match in the 64th minute. The Spanish champions have now extended their lead at the top of the table to 6 points.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince Nesta is looking at some of the highlights over the weekend in European club football. Prince, any updates on the French league?
Sure, Sonny. Paris Saint-Germain's 20-game unbeaten run in the French league this season ended with a 2-1 defeat at Lyon. French forward Nabil Fekir won it for Lyon when he coolly slotted in a 49th-minute penalty. The Paris side had taken the lead through Angel Di Maria, but French footballer of Malian descent Moussa Dembele's towering header drew Lyon level. Despite the setback, PSG leads second place Lille by 10 points, having played 2 games less. Lille also continued their perfect start to the new year by thrashing Nice 4-0, with goals from French footballer of Ivorian descent Jonathan Bamba, Loic Remy, Portuguese footballer of Angolan descent Rafael Leao, and French-born Ivorian professional player Nicolas Pepe. The win marked Lille's 6th straight victory in 2019, and they now lie second in the French league table. And finally in Germany, Bayern Munich forward Thomas Müller is set to miss both legs of the Champions League last 16 tie against Liverpool after he was given a too much European ban. The 29-year-old German international was sent off in December's 3-3 group stage draw with Ajax for kicking Nicolas Tagliafico in the head. The German, who has scored 42 goals in 107 Champions League appearances, has also appealed against the decision. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now from Nigeria's political capital, Abuja, for a look at some of the top sports headlines from Africa this past weekend. Sporty Monday greetings to you, Samson.
Sporty Monday greetings to you, Sunny, and welcome to the wrap of the top African sports headlines from this past weekend. I have two sports journalists with me, Ferdinand Ubum and Opeyemi Akiode, to discuss some of the biggest sports stories. Let's begin with the CAF Champions League, where there was a record winning margin for an African Champions League group match. 8-0 it was for TP Mazembe against Club Africain of Tunisia. What do you make of that thrashing result, Ferdinand?
I was really surprised, some sort, because Club Africain are two-time former champions of the competition and they have quality players too. But I don't know why they should concede so many goals. It was 8-0, and that's the highest number of goals recorded in the history of the group stages of this competition. Another one is the one between Al Ahly of Egypt and Simba of Tanzania, and that was 5-0, and all five goals were scored in the first half, and a couple of interesting scenarios from that corner. I think the most important thing in football is goal scoring, you know, but when the goals are coming to more, sometimes people begin to look at it as some sort of joke.
Now, Opeyemi, what do you make of the other results that came through from the CAF Champions League?
You just still keep asking ourselves that at what point would other region in Africa catch up with teams coming from North Africa? Their dominance over the years has been so consistent, nobody seems to come close to them. And we saw the result this weekend, but the beautiful thing is this, every team that played each other this weekend will play each other again by the time they return for the next round. So we continue to monitor things from that perspective also.
All right, let's look at another CAF-organized competition which got underway on Saturday, the CAF AFCON Under-20 Championship, which is taking place in Niger. Host Niger, South Africa, Nigeria and Burundi were all in action on the first day of the competition. Ferdinand, what do you make of the results from day one of the competition?
Yeah, the African Youth Championship, that was how it used to be known, but now it has been rechristened the African Cup of Nations for Under-20. The first game between Niger Republic, the host, and South Africa ended in a 1-1 draw. Some people will say, yes, the host should have won that game, but I think South Africa have been very, very serious when it comes to grassroots sports development generally, and this is really, really showing in their sports generally. Now, for the Nigeria versus Burundi game, it was a one-sided affair, if you ask me, because Nigeria dominated the game. They should have even scored more than the number of goals they scored. It was very unfortunate that they had to score just two goals. And I think Coach Paul Egbogun really needs to work on the attack. They were very, very profligate in front of goal, and that is not good enough. You meet a better side like the South African national team or the Nigerians who have the luxury of the 12th man, which is the crowd. It could be disastrous for us. They can have three maximum points in their next game, then they'll just have been able to qualify for the World Youth Championship in Poland that comes up in May.
Opeyemi, day two of the championship saw an unfortunate incident on Sunday where a match had to be postponed as a result of power cuts.
Well, I think, sometimes there are some things that seems to be peculiar to African football. I've always felt that any team that is ready to host the competition should be able to close up every loose ends, tidy up every details. And the list of those details should be that making sure everything at the stadium is at a pretty good end in terms of security, in terms of the lights. If you want to host a match by 4:30, good. If you want to host a game by 7:30 p.m., you should know that every little indices should be closed up. And that's what we saw. Unfortunately, the whole issue with African football brought up is that a match had to be postponed because they couldn't fix the lights in the stadium. But going forward, I think we'll definitely get them one of these days.
Let's stay with CAF. Musa Bellitti, the Liberian FA president, wrote a letter to CAF resigning from two committees he was appointed to chair, describing the present leadership of CAF as failing in its responsibility. Particularly, he blamed the CAF president for superimposing and micromanaging some of the committees he was appointed to chair. What do you guys make of this?
Well, I think he's only stating the obvious. We know the identity of the people that are running African football. Most of them have corrupt tendencies and they have questionable character back home in their various countries. I think football is very dirty all over the world, and it's dirtier in Africa. We knew how Gianni Infantino became FIFA president. So FIFA are trying to clean themselves up. And I think other confederations, including the African Confederation, should also clean their table up.
Well, I think it's something that is very clear. We've got problems in African football, administrative problem, implementation problem, organizational problem. I think ability's situation is pretty much clear. He felt uncomfortable with the way the hosting right thing was handled. And I think he went a bit too far with resigning from those committees and all. It's a responsibility. And he knows that his exit from the committee will definitely shake up a few things. We've got problems in African football, but walking away is not going to be the solution.
Finally, Okpemi, I'll stay with you. We're the biggest marathon opener for the year on the African continent, which is the Lagos City Marathon, took place this weekend in Lagos with a $50,000 cash prize each for the winners in the male and female category. Now, again, the marathon were dominated. Again, that marathon was dominated by Ethiopian and Kenyan runners. What do you make of this?
Well, I think they've got the altitude advantage in terms of the location of their countries. They know how to build up strength. They know how to conserve energy, and it's always worked for them. We saw that the Lagos Marathon, Ethiopia did the double. That's talking about the male and the female category, and big one, $50,000 were up for grabs. And guess what? Ethiopia got both of them. Sinteyehu Legese, he came in with a 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 26 seconds to cross the line first, winning the $50,000 off for grabs. And in the female category also, we had Dinke Menserat with her own time was 2 hours, 48 minutes, and 2 seconds to win the female category as well. We're 1-2 talking about the male and female category went to Ethiopia.
I've been speaking with Ferdinand Ubum and Okpeyemi Akiode, who are both sports journalists here in Abuja, Nigeria. And that will be all from me, Sonny. I am Samson Omala, and it's back to you, Sonny, on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More news from the world of athletics. Sebastian Coe has all but confirmed that he'll run for a second term as president of the International Association of Athletics Federations, the sports world governing body. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Sebastian Coe gave the hint in an interview with Reuters news outlet late last week in Abu Dhabi. Coe attended the Leader Sport Business Summit, where he outlined his vision for the future of the IAAF.
I think we've made a very good start in the first few years. The first 2 or 3 years were really clearly about reform, about creating structures that were safe and secure, about providing foundations that would give confidence to our sponsors, to the athletes, to our spectators, to the media, to feel that we were a sport that was worth investing time, resource, finance into. The next leg of the journey has to be about innovation. It has to be about growing the sport. It has to be about creating an exciting experience, particularly for young people. That's the fun bit. So clearly, I would love to be a part of that.
The IAAF has been under a dark cloud for the past 3 years. You may remember last November, there were calls for the World Anti-Doping Agency president to step down for lifting a 3-year sanction on Russia's anti-doping agency. The move came despite Russia's failure to comply with WADA's criteria for reinstatement. Well, that independent process for Russia's reinstatement was instituted by the IAAF. And last week, Coe stood behind his decision and added, transparency is crucial.
We need to have systems that we trust in. We have to have people in those systems that we trust. We need to have athletes that have the opportunity to express their concerns if they think those systems are not as good as they should be. We need to make sure that the coaches that have been plying their trade are not included in the sport going forward. All these things are there. They're a matter of public record.
And he said a system is in place to ensure a clean sport.
Over the course of the last competitive season, we had about 70 athletes that were competing with what we call neutral status. It means that we are, to the best of our ability, clear that they are now in a system that we consider to be safe and secure. There's no foolproof system, but to the best of our ability. And that when full reinstatement of that federation takes place, it will be on the basis that we are absolutely sure that we are not putting into peril the condition of the clean athletes. We have to be absolutely sure here that the vast majority of clean athletes are not going to have their ambitions thwarted because we have a group of athletes that we can't control.
Coe's own ambition garnered him 2 Olympic gold medals for Great Britain in 1980 and 1984. He is the only man to have won gold twice in the 1500 meters, and he's regarded as one of the finest middle distance runners the world has ever seen. Coe was elected as IAAF president in 2015 in the eye of the doping scandal storm that he spent much of his term battling. He has yet to confirm whether Russian athletes will compete under their own flag in the upcoming Tokyo 2020 Olympics, but Coe stressed that testing has advanced since the time when he was an Olympic competitor.
One test, one positive test, is too many. But look, let me be really clear here. The systems that we now have available to us are 20, 30, 40 times safer and more secure than they were 10, 15, 20, and certainly from that era when I was competing. And it's often counter-narrative to make that point, but it is very important that the sport is significantly safer than it was. That's not to say that we are cavalier or, you know, we are not taking every positive test very seriously.
The IAAF presidential election will be held this September in Doha, where the World Championship will also be taking place. And Coe says the games will be clean and fair.
Sport that is based on anything other than free, fair, open competitions are not the outcome decided because there are a better set of chemists in lane 3 than there are in lane 5 is really crucial.
And I will let Sebastian Coe have the last word. That's all from me. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Ghanaian fighter Richard Comey, who captured the IBF lightweight title over the weekend near Dallas, Texas. Comey put on an impressive performance in front of the fight fans in Texas, as well as the boxing aficionados watching on ESPN television. Comey stopped the Russian Isa Chaniev 39 seconds into the second round after dropping Chaniev with a short left hook to the chin. Referee Lawrence Cole stopped the fight as Chaniev rose on wobbly legs. The new IBF champion Comey improved his record to 28 wins and 2 losses with 25 knockouts. Chaniev's record is now 13 victories and 2 defeats with 6 knockouts. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, says he thinks Richard Comey will hold on to the IBF title belt for a while. Namdi says fight fans in Africa and here in the United States love Comey's style, and I'll be chatting with Namdi later this week. And while Isa Chaniev lost in Texas, another Russian, Sergey Kovalev, had better luck. Crusher Kovalev took back the WBO light heavyweight title belt from the Colombian Elider Alvarez, who beat Kovalev last year in New Jersey. This time around, Kovalev scored a unanimous 12-round decision. And that wraps up the February 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the West perpetually talks about its democratic values, self-determination, and freedoms. Can these concepts become realities in Africa? Discussing freedom of expression on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
An international group of scientists has identified a new giant plant-eating dinosaur species in South Africa. The team's research and findings are detailed in a study published in the journal Current Biology, called the Ledumahadi Mafubi, which in the South African indigenous language of Sesotho means a giant thunderclap at dawn. The study suggests when it was alive about 200 million years ago, it was the largest land animal. According to the researchers, the dinosaur weighed about 12 metric tons and its height at its hips was about 4 meters, which was about twice the size of a large African elephant. The dinosaur remains that led to this discovery were found near Clarens in South Africa's Free State Province. Study authors say the Ledumahadi Mafubi is a close early relative to sauropod dinosaurs such as the Brontosaurus. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. and our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.